travel on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Paul O'Connell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good. You are bringing me to a place I've never been, Istanbul.
Oh, I think you should go. I'm pitching this.
I think I should go as well, just for the record.
There's your Christmas gift sorted. I think if you've been to places like Rome and Paris and London and you're looking for a city break that will stretch the exoticism a little bit, but whilst you're still able to sort of retreat to stuff you know and food you can recognise and everybody still speaks English and the public transport works, Istanbul is a good bet. It's just 4 hours away. There's a direct flight from Dublin Airport, but it's one of the great global cities. I mean, you come in from the airport and you will see the domes and the minarets of the mosques on the skyline. It's teeming with people, teeming with traffic. It's got the Bosphorus running through it. Literally on one side is Europe, the other is Asia. So you can have breakfast in Asia and lunch in Europe and vice versa. It's a hugely multicultural place with a Muslim and Islamic culture, but loads of tourists. And then the food, you can still eat safely in a restaurant, but you can also get the street food as you get more comfy stuff. Everything from the kebabs to a dish, I don't know, I wonder what you think about this, called kokoreç, which is lamb intestines on a skewer. Ooh. Grilled, and you eat it on the street as a snack. So all of that coming at you.
I want to be fairly well grilled for me to eat that now. I think just that's based on that.
That's a day three snack. You can ease your way into it.
Hummus to begin. Right. Tell us about some of the big kind of historical touristy things. The Hagia Sophia is obviously up at the top of the list.
Yeah, you're right. So the first thing I would think about with Istanbul is whether you want to go independently or you want to do it as an escorted tour. There are options for both. And you escorted tour, you can get one that does half days rather than full day itineraries. Whatever you do, whatever way you do it, you'll probably end up first on the Golden Horn, which is at the centre of the city, looking out onto the Bosphorus. And this is where all of the big historical hits are. So just like in New York, you'd go to Midtown. Here in Istanbul, you have the Blue Mosque, which is this enormous, beautiful mosque sitting on a hill. You queue up. Ladies are given a scarf to cover their heads if they don't have one already. You step inside and there's this amazing hush. The domes are soaring over your head, all the Islamic script above you. You come out, you can go to the Hagia Sophia, as you say, which started life as a cathedral and subsequently became a mosque. There's a thing called the Basilica Cistern, which basically speaks to its Roman heritage. You go down underground and it's this enormous arches and brickwork. There was actually a scene in a James Bond movie film there. And that's all within a walk of each other. And interspersed in between them are these lovely little red kiosks and stalls on wheels selling Turkish bread, selling corn that's just cooked in front of you, selling chestnuts. So it's a great, gentle way to do it. Now, quite touristy, that place, but it's like when you go to Dublin, you're going to go to the Guinness Storehouse or you're going to see the Book of Kells, yeah. And then you're going to get a bit more adventurous. So that's where I would start. But I caution about the prices, and I was surprised. I've been to Istanbul a couple of times over the years. This is easily the most expensive time I've been there. It's possible to get beautiful simit bread from a street stall for 20 cent, but to go into one of its big tourist attractions called Topkapi Palace, it's 55 quid. Like the big attractions at Hagia Sophia.
A bit of a jump.
25 quid to go in. So you do need to kind of budget and prepare for that. It's not unique in Istanbul. A lot of cities like this are sort of charging different prices for visitors and for locals. But just bear it in mind if you're picking things off. It's not like, well, actually the Blue Mosque is free and a lot of the mosques are free. But bear it in mind when you're setting out your budget.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay to get into this. Now, you kind of did them a disservice by leading with the kokoreç, which is the sheep's intestines. But there's a lot of other very nice foods that you can try there.
It's fantastic. And it speaks to its location. You have flavours coming from Asia, from Europe. You have the breads are wonderful there. The pita bread that you'll get with the kebabs, like I mentioned, the shimit. There's a Turkish breakfast is almost like a cuisine in itself. It's you sit down and you have brought out all at once olives, hummus, several types of bread, shakshuka style eggs, fried eggs. You have all laid out in front of you in this enormous platter. I took a picture and put it up on Instagram, and I don't know how I could have eaten it all, but I gave it a good shot.
Loads of cheeses. Yeah, you gave it a good rattle anyway, as you would do.
It's one of those ones where you want to sort of don't go for the hotel breakfast this morning and schedule it for about 10 and sit there for an hour and a half and it'll be your lunch as well, Turkish breakfast. Oh, of course, and the Turkish coffee. I don't know if you've ever tried that or heard of it, but basically it looks like an espresso, but it's prepared in a tiny little copper pot. And what's unusual about it is, first of all, it's strong enough to stand your spoon up in. But secondly, they don't filter out the grounds. So the grounds sit at the bottom of the little espresso espresso cup.
Chewy.
And you order, when you're ordering it, you say a little bit of sugar, medium sugar or a lot of sugar. And they prep it while they're actually brewing it. You sit down and a lot of sugar is like you'd nearly fall off your chair and have a sugar rush for the day. But you'll feel your way through it. It's like a really strong, dense espresso. But it's one of these things you have to try while you're there. Other than that, you'll have heard of, you know, Turkish Delight, baklava. And if you go through the Grand Bazaar or the Spice Market and places like that, this stuff will be for sale everywhere. Really easy to get. And they'll all give you little tasters from the stalls, too.
Now, you mentioned the Grand Bazaar. As I'm getting older, I'm less inclined to go to shopping centres and more inclined to find markets where I can stroll around and it's a little bit of the exotic and a little bit of the interesting and you can have a bit of a haggle. And I can't imagine there being any better place on the planet than the Grand Bazaar.
Yes, prepare to get lost. A great tip I got going into the Grand Bazaar was take a picture of the gate. So you go in through this arch and there's a name and a number on the gate. And the idea being that if/when you get lost, you show it to someone and they go, you go back that way and you go back that way and you can gradually find your way out. Picture, it's not like a souk like you would find in North Africa. It's indoors, it's enclosed, it's well lit. There's big, a sort of a large main street and then off it go these little labyrinthine streets where they have the cashmere shawls, they have the leather bags, they have the carpets, they have the knockoff goods and everything else and little cafes and all the rest of it. And getting sort of, the bargaining is part of the process. I thought I was doing well and I was getting a cheap cashmere scarf and the entry man gave me 50 lira off because I'd actually done really badly. He said, no, I'll only ask.
You were that bad at it.
Well, he started off saying 800 and I said, I'll give you 5. And he goes, we'll do 7. And then, you know, I did the normal thing and worked up to 650 or something. And in the end, he said, I'll give it to you for 550.
Did you? Hang on. You didn't see that. Oh, I'm walking away. I'm walking. Now, you're not no good at it.
This is the classic thing is you'll be looking at the carpets in the window or the gold or whatever it is. And someone who's just really lovely and friendly come out and say, come on in, sit down, have a lovely glass of tea. And you know the way they're served in those tulip shaped glasses and you sit down, you get chatting. And then the wife, and it's always the wife or the daughters, will come out and start laying the carpets out at your feet and going, you know, this is good price here. This is really lovely one. No problem to ship it. We'll vacuum pack it. You can pay with any card you have and all the rest of it. And all of a sudden you're completely seduced in the system. Now, I was not going in. I've learned over the years not to go into a carpet shop because I'm not in the market for carpet. But it is good crack if you just have a firm no at the end of it. Or indeed, you might as well. I saw someone there buying a knockoff handbag from a really famous brand for €200. Apparently it would have cost 1,000 in Ireland or something, but he was delighted. I wouldn't trust myself to tell whether it was knockoff or not, but anyway.
No, well, you see, this is it. Yeah, you just have to nod and smile and assume what you can. Fergal says Istanbul Airport is the most expensive airport he's ever been through. So obviously the cost of things extends there. Claire asks, would Paul have any idea how much it would cost to go from Paris or Amsterdam by train to Istanbul? Can you get a train all the way down?
You can, that was the traditional Orient Express route. Actually, Agatha Christie stayed in a hotel in Istanbul called the Pera Palace in a particular room where she wrote parts of Murder on the Orient Express. It's a lovely link. I don't know the price off the top of my head. The Orient Express doesn't do that anymore, but I will have a look at the rail and maybe I'll tweet it or send it to you afterwards, Jonathan.
Yeah,
but it is doable, but it won't be quick. Put it that way.
I just got to say, you're probably changing in a couple of countries along the way as well. So convenient it wouldn't be. Lots of cats in Istanbul, isn't there?
Well, this was really remarkable. The Turkish word for cat is kedi, K-E-D-I. I was travelling with my daughter and there's 250,000 cats in the city. And every time we turned a corner, there'd be a cat atop of a taxi or a cat sitting on a moped or a cat on a doorstep or a cat rubbing up against your leg. You sit down for breakfast and there's a cat under the table. And we wonder, what is the story? And it turns out that they've been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. There's a cat museum, which has a brilliant sign outside. It doesn't say museum. It says, why so many cats in Istanbul? So we were drawn down the street and we went in and we learned all about the history. And apparently they came in on the ships and all that. And the city adopted them. They loved them. They are wild or stray. Not all of them are neutered. But you can tell by there's a little clip in the rear if they've been neutered. But the thing is that they have this kind of public vibe where they all look after them. And outside a little shop, you'll see a little bowl of water and a bowl of cat food. And a cat will come by and have a nibble and go on. It's not like I've been in India and you see the dogs in some cities there and you go, oh my God, how will they ever deal with this? And it's a problem that's out of control and it can be menacing in some parts. It's not like that. They mostly cared for. And I'd say
they've leaned into the cats.
Of about the 14,000 cats we stopped and take pictures of, I'd say about three of them looked like they were,
had a rough
in problematic condition.
Hang on, Paul, I have an idea. What we're going to do is we're going to adopt the aggressive seagulls and use them in a marketing campaign for Dublin. Very similar. They're well fed. I mean, no one can argue that the seagulls in Dublin aren't well fed. And we can just have the Catstan Bull can become, the seagulls can become the same thing for Dublin.
God, I'd like to see how that would work out. Cats of Istanbul is the hashtag on Instagram. I wonder seagulls of Dublin, would that have the same? There goes one with my burger. Off he goes.
Absolutely. We'll just train them to do nicer things. And Paul O'Connell, a pleasure as always. Thank you for bringing us to Istanbul.